Jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. Three-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, the Wednesday edition of the show today. We got 24 hours, or actually a little less now, before the trade deadline tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So keep your phones handy. Make sure you have those notifications on for Woj and Shams so you don't miss anything. But today, there was a rumor that came out about the Heat from Shams and the Grizzlies being an active conversation. So what better way to talk about it than to have the Locked On Heat host, David Ramil, join me with today's show. We'll talk about all the rumors, what the Heat might do, what the trade might look like. We talk about who he thinks will be most likely included if the Grizzlies get any young players. All that on today's conversation with David Ramil of Locked On Heat. Hope you guys enjoy it. We got a great contest for you guys on the Locked On Network, but only about another day to get it done. If you want to win two tickets to see your favorite team in their home arena, but guessing an NBA trade perfectly before it happens, you can pre-bomb the Woj Bomb. Go to any of the Locked On NBA Net accounts on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Post a trade you think that will happen. Tag five people with your trade in your post. If you're right, then you have a chance to win two tickets to see your favorite team play in their home arena. Trades will be evaluated based on players and picks, not cash. If multiple people win, the first person with the correct trade is the winner, and one winner will be chosen across all Locked On social media accounts. If no one guesses the exact trade, the winner will be the one that's closest to the pin, so to speak, in terms of golf. It'll be the closest to the actual trade. That will be the winner. So there will be a winner no matter what. We will pick one winner. So go to whatever Locked On NBA Network account that you follow, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and post that trade today. Welcome back to the show. Talking with David Ramil from Locked On Heat. As the report came out yesterday afternoon that the Grizzlies and the Heat were talking about Andre Iguodala and what a trade might look like. So the only logical solution is for us to get together and talk about it. What's going on, Dave?
Not much. I know Iguodala is a very popular player around Memphis nowadays, so I'm sure Grizzlies fans are really excited to talk about potential trade options.
Yeah, you know, we've already done this once, you and I. We had an Andre Iguodala trade special on Locked On Grizzlies. You sent me some audio for that show, so we've already kind of already talked about this a little bit, and there are some specific trades in there, but I always thought the Heat were a real destination. But from your side, how real do you think, is in terms of what the rumors are, Shams reporting, but how real do you think there would be a possibility of Andre Iguodala actually making it to the Heat?
A month ago, I would have said that it's probably below 25%. Now, I'd say it's a 50-50 shot, to be honest with you. I think with Miami, a normally tight-lipped organization, if there's any kind of leak internally that there is interest in Iguodala, that seems like it's almost a done deal, to be honest with you. That's how close I perceive this to be. When it starts attaching a team like Miami to a rumor like this, there's a very good chance that there's heavy interest. And Miami generally does not miss out on these things. I mean, we heard about over the summer when Miami was trying to trade Goran Dragic and Kelly Olynyk to the Dallas Mavericks. We heard about it. And then we only heard about it after the fact when Dallas went ahead and said, no, we don't want to take on Goran Dragic's salary in return. So that's, you know, when we first heard about the rumor, it was after the fact, and only because Dallas had rejected the deal finally. But so when you and I first recorded our segment a couple weeks ago, maybe even last month, you know, I knew that Iguodala was on Miami's radar. He makes sense from a veteran perspective. He brings some kind of defense there. But I wasn't sure why Miami would want to break up its young core that has been playing so well. But now that we're starting to see with, you know, the trade deadline in less than 48 hours, you know, Miami's interest to me seems like it's pretty real. And I wouldn't doubt that a deal gets done.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I thought was a legitimate possibility just in terms of what he could do for the Miami Heat. And you mentioned that obviously have a lot of young players. I think maybe some guys that didn't think they were going to have at this point being or playing this well. You can tell me if that's the case or not. But from what I hear you saying, it sounds like it's a little bit like the Grizzlies. This front office doesn't leak a whole lot of things for the Grizzlies, and the Heat don't do as well. Only when you kind of hear stuff, it is pretty concrete of what's going to happen for either team, really.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And you're right. Yeah, as far as the young players, when the roster was first put together over the summer following the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, you figured that you would have guys like Goran Dragic on the move, that Deion Waiters would probably play a prominent role, and that Justice Winslow was probably going to be your starting point guard. Unfortunately, Justice Winslow has been hurt for most of the year. Goran Dragic has been a good role player off the bench. And Waiters has been suspended for almost most of the season, or he just hasn't been available to play. And so Miami has found a way to maximize the talents of guys like Duncan Robinson, who was spent most of last year with the G League, Kendrick Nunn, who is a rookie who spent all of last year with the G League, and, of course, Tyler Herro, who is a drafted rookie, a lottery pick, but he's been playing a fantastic role as a great shooter off the bench. So all these young guys that have been taking a leap this season, none of which anybody expected to make this kind of impact or to be relied upon as heavily as they have been.
So let's talk about what Andre Iguodala and a Miami Heat trade would look like now that you and I probably both agreed that this is probably realer than most of the things we've heard about. And quite frankly, this is the only thing that we've really been linked to as far as the Grizzlies are concerned. And I'd say harder evidence. I mean, we've all seen that lots of teams have express interest over the 8 months that he's been here or whatever it's been. Actually, before we get to the trade, since Andre Iguodala did this whole like weird disparaging remarks of I'm only going to play the teams on my list and who knows what his list is, do you think that scares off a team like the Heat in terms of he might not be actually playing in a uniform if they actually make that trade for him?
I would assume not. I think Pat Riley in particular seems like he has a lot of equity around the league as far as any kind of agents and representation is concerned, with the exception of Rich Paul, just because that relationship was fractured somewhat when LeBron left Miami in 2014. Other than that, I would imagine that there's a pretty good understanding before any deal is finalized that Iguodala would be okay playing in Miami. Although, you know, obviously the Grizzlies are competing for a playoff spot as well. And Miami doesn't seem like a surefire title contender either. So from everything we've heard, Iguodala would have preferred playing on the West Coast. Miami clearly not there. So, I mean, there are concerns, but I think Miami, if they've already been linked to this potential trade, my assumption would be that there's an understanding there between his representatives and Andre himself that he's willing to play in Miami. And I think there's a relationship there too with Jimmy Butler because I think they were Olympians together, things of that sort. So there's a connection there, and I'm fairly confident that if a trade does go down, then Iguodala will be okay playing in with the Heat.
I think you're probably right. I mean, in a sense, if you're gotten this far down the road in some type of discussion, whatever, I mean, and don't get me wrong, what he did was not cool at all, because you've got a team in the Grizzlies who have said all year long, like, hey, you do you. You stay in L.A. We don't care what you do. We'll still pay you. Just don't come around. And all of a sudden, now he's trying to, you know, try to go figure out where he wants to go. Because clearly, you only do that if you're hearing things about where you might end up. Then you start to put that out is, I don't want to be those places. I don't want to be L.A. That is how it went down. I mean, you don't really do that. If you hear from your agent, hey, they're discussing LA trades and you're all happy and you don't say anything at all. But let's take a quick break. Before we get into actual trades, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about what trades we might think fit between the Heat and the Grizzlies. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Dave Vermeil from Locked On Heat. You can follow him at DRAMIL13, the number's 13 on Twitter. Go do that now. He hosts Locked On Heat. all the Heat coverage you might want. So he probably has some different takes over there as well. So go check out his show. But let's talk about what trades you might think would work for the Grizzlies. And for me, the Heat actually are one of the easier teams to make this work because they had that dead money in James Johnson. I would assume he'd be in the deal to start off with. What about you?
Probably. That seems like it makes a lot of sense to include Johnson's contract there, although he is owed $15.5 million next season as well, and I'm not sure that the Grizzlies would want to take back that salary. But I actually thought that Justice Winslow would probably be the basis for any kind of transaction, although I still think that there's potential in Winslow. But my feeling is that if the Heat are willing to move on from Winslow's contract immediately, it's probably because they have some concerns regarding his health issues. He's had problems health-wise over the course of his career. I wouldn't go so far as to call him injury-prone, but he's had a dislocated shoulder. He's had some nagging ankle and back issues this season. And it seems like he just hasn't been a player that you can count on regularly. So if you're acquiring a theoretic 3-and-D player like Iguodala, why not give up a 3-and-D player like Winslow as well? Although Winslow is, in my opinion, a better playmaker. And you know, he was supposed to be the starting point guard this season. So my feeling is if you're going to acquire Iguodala, then you're probably going to give up Winslow first and foremost. Because I think Johnson, because of his size and bulk and versatility defensively, he can still be an adequate defender when you match up in the playoffs with a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo or Joel Embiid or whomever in the Eastern Conference.
So you think Justin Winslow would be very available for the Grizzlies?
That's my feeling, yes. I think, you know, even around the Heat right now, he's been available. He was in the locker room. He's just not playing. And
right.
Eric Spoelstra, who is the official team spokesperson, he does not give any updates regarding Winslow's health. Winslow is not traveling with the team right now, even though they're in the midst of a 5-game road trip before the All-Star break. And, you know, he came back for one game. Then apparently his back, quote-unquote, tightened up, and he just hasn't been available since then. They re-diagnosed it as a bone bruise when before it was just a bone sprain or something, a back sprain. And now all of a sudden there's this feeling that the Heat are withholding information, potentially because Winslow is going to be included in a trade. And something I said in my most recent podcast over there is that Justice has a wealth of interest outside of basketball, and the Heat front office doesn't take too kindly to that. My feeling is that they might already have some suspicion that he's not entirely 100% committed and focused to just basketball, which is how they like it in Miami. So, I mean, that's just my feeling. There's no confirmation of that, and I haven't heard anything sourced or anything like that just yet.
Well, Justice Winslow and Andre Iguodala straight up would not work. It's just too much money coming back for the Heat. What else do you think? I mean, you could probably do something like Andre Iguodala and Josh Jackson. I think the one I did yesterday was Josh Jackson, Andre Iguodala for Justin Winslow and Dion Waiters, but I don't think they would do that straight up.
Who, Miami?
Yeah.
I've heard the name Jackson before. I think Jay Crowder is also a possibility that they might be interested in, but it's $24 million worth of salary coming back. And because Miami is hard capped, they're not able to take on any kind of additional money. They would have to, you know, either give up some money or take back equal amounts as far as the contracts they exchange for are concerned. So, I mean, I think Dion Waiters is another interesting scenario there, because although I think he's good as a player, I think he has potential. And again, he was supposed to be the starter. He has undoubtedly fallen out of favor with the coaching staff. Unlike James Johnson, who's been able to work his way back and put in the work behind the scenes so that he could be included in the rotation, Waiters just hasn't made that same kind of commitment. And so I think the Heat would undoubtedly, again, be willing to part with Dion, despite the fact that he is still a competent scorer, a versatile defender, and a capable playmaker. So there is benefits to having a guy like Dion Waiters on the Heat roster, but Miami, just when they get to a point where they don't longer see you as their guy, they will move on very quickly.
That's interesting to know. And it's also, I think someone retweeted this in my timeline that Justice Winslow and Myers Leonard didn't make the road trip, the 5-game road trip. Do you read anything into that, or is that just normal stuff? What is that like from your perspective, them being held back from a road trip at this point in the week?
Well, Myers Leonard in particular rolled his ankle pretty badly, and it was diagnosed right away as an ankle sprain. in Miami's most recent victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. So following that game, I heard he was having an MRI the following day, and my feeling is that they probably confirmed that it was a pretty extensive injury, so there's no reason for him to go on these five games there, even though he is the team starting center right now. I guess they assume that there's enough depth there between Bam Adebayo, Kelly Olynyk, or maybe even James Johnson being put into the starting rotation. So it's interesting to see how Eric Spoelstra will respond there. But I wouldn't read too much into the Leonard thing. Again, the question with Winslow is that he seems healthy. He seems like he's available. He's been active and available, and I've seen him at practice myself putting up shots. And then somehow, invariably, he's just not available to play as per the coaching staff.
That is interesting. It is definitely a weird thing to have happen a couple days before the trade deadline, for sure. Let's talk. I'm hugely interested in Duncan Robinson, although I think it's a long shot. But any of these guys, Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn, I mean, obviously Tyler Hill's been linked in some trades, are, I guess they're probably not going to make all those guys available, but would someone like Duncan Robinson be available to the Grizzlies in a certain scenario where they would bring some other, maybe not just Andre Iguodala, but some other, maybe Grayson Allen or some other type of younger player back?
I would assume that of those young players, Robinson is probably the most untouchable, just because he's such a benefit on offense. When Miami's offense gets stale, they run him off multiple screens, and he's able to. He doesn't need much space in order to get that shot off, and yep. He's been shooting it at such a high level. He's one of the best shooters in the league, obviously. So, my feeling is that Kendrick Nunn, who just missed a few games and wasn't entirely missed, he's a little bit more inefficient. You like his aggressiveness. You like his ability to get to his shot off at any opportunity. But at the same time, that shot's not always going to fall, whereas Duncan Robinson, he's been knocking down the three, which is obviously so much more valuable than what Kendrick Nunn provides, and he does it at such a high level. My feeling is that Robinson's untouchable. I would assume that they could move on from Kendrick Nunn, and also a guy like Derrick Jones Jr. I'm not sure how much interest there would be around the league for a guy like Derrick, but he is long, he's athletic. He provides some good defense, particularly when Eric Spoelstra uses his zone defense, because they use it more than any other team in the league. And he has the kind of length and athleticism where he can be a real factor in that regard. His three-point shot is very, very hit or miss. It's got better over the course of his career, and he's still young. But he's also an upcoming free agent, too. And my feeling is that Miami does not want to invest too much money in him, knowing that Duncan Robinson is probably going to collect him a huge payday in a season or two.
Yeah, it's a bummer because I love Duncan Robinson. I love him for all the reasons that everybody else does, probably in Miami. And there's a reason why I would probably put him in that trade for sure. But you know, you totally understand a guy like him. You can't really you can't just give them away for sure. I would expect them to hold on to Duncan Robinson, even though he would be my choice, only because he's that good, and that's why they would presume to keep him as well. Before we get out of here, what would be your ideal if you guys are trading for Andre Iguodala? What would be your ideal group of people to bring back or give away? What would your trade look like for an Andre Iguodala trade for the Grizzlies?
You know, I have been very staunchly opposed to the move because I just don't think it necessarily pushes the ceiling for Miami that much. If I had to take back anything, or if I had to give away anything in exchange for Iguodala. Oh, that is so tough. I mean, I personally love Deion and still think he can contribute. I think that's probably a big part of it. James Johnson, there's value there. You're putting me on the spot.
You can say no. You can just say none.
Then
that's an option. None. Like, I would not make that trade.
I would not make that trade. Look, I think, as unpopular as he is in Memphis, he can contribute. I have concerns about Miami relying on their youthful players, and obviously a guy like Iguodala with his championship experience adds a dimension to this team that they're currently lacking. At the same time, I just don't see why you would give up on a guy like a Winslow, who has all this kind of potential and can be such he can be a very good player down the road if you're willing to give him a chance. It just feels like you're being hasty and making this decision a little bit too soon, and I've not bought into it, so I would say no deal.
So you think if they're going, if they would somehow got a Andre Iguodala for Winslow deal done, the Grizzlies would probably be in a much better position. I don't get to see Justice Winslow. I like him, but I don't get to see him like you get to see him.
He's, look, on defense, he is every bit as good as Andre Iguodala, to be 100% honest with you. He can guard ones through fours pretty easily. He has played even center during the playoffs with his rookie year. So, I mean, he has the ability to guard multiple players across any you know, around the floor. He can guard the perimeter and the paint just as easily. On offense, his shot has been a little off. It's been a work in progress. His three-point shooting has been, last season it was very good. This year, not as much, but he just hasn't had much opportunity. Where he does excel, however, is figuring out pace in the offense and having the ball in his hands as a playmaker. He's really a very, very big point guard, so he can add a whole dimension to any team that they currently lack, because he's 6'7". He can pass very, deftly. He has a nice floater. He has a nice mid-range game. He can get to the rim, and he has a kind of length. He's not an explosive athlete, but he's very good and very big. And he can defend at a high level. So to me, as a player who's like 23 years old, there's an incredible amount of value there. And he's not making a whole heck of a lot of money either, just $13 million. And now that he's got a contract extension that just began last season. So I think there's value in Justice Winslow. The Heat might be ready to move on, however.
Do you think that, and this, I promise, is my last question, but do you think there would be any scenario where the Heat would deem Iguodala as just a salary dump in terms of just taking on an expiring deal to get them any type of space this summer? Or if their cap situation way better than I do, but do you think they would view that as a, who cares if he plays or not? We just need an expiring deal, and if we can move off of Justice Winslow's next 3-year contract, let's do that.
No, I don't see that being the case. I think they have, or at least they used to value Justice Winslow. I mean, again, when Goran Dragic was on the verge of being traded out this summer, Winslow was going to be the team's starting point guard. It just didn't work out that way because of injuries and things of that sort. But the reality is that Jimmy Butler has been the guy who's initiated offense the most. Bam Adebayo has been a very close second. He's almost the team's starting point guard in itself. So, I think they view themselves as buyers. If they're going to be making a trade this summer, it's because they want to push for a deeper run in the playoffs. And if they think Andre Iguodala can contribute, that's why they would acquire him, not just to give up salary. That was last year when they didn't have a particularly high ceiling. Now with Jimmy Butler on the first year of a 4-year contract, they want to be able to make as deep a playoff run every year as possible. And their plan is not for this summer. It's also for 2021 when they think they have a legitimate shot of adding Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Awesome stuff, David. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate giving us some better insight on what the Heat might do with Andre Iguodala. It's a much better viewpoint in terms of just throwing trades out there and seeing what might stick and what the Heat realistically might want to do. So I appreciate it. Again, if you've not already checked out Locked On Heat, if you have, I know this is a Grizzlies podcast, but if you have any thoughts or questions or concerns, go check out Dave's podcast, Locked On Heat. It's great. It's a daily show just like this one is. You guys will love it if you love this show. David, I appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
You got it. Always a pleasure, and thanks so much for having me.